Hello there, this is Dave Allen, and welcome to the third episode of the podcast EV 20 Questions. And today we're talking to a guy from Jersey. Without further ado, let's get on with the interview. Anyway, so Mike Ward from Jersey, nice to have you on the show. And first of all, just tell us how long you've been an EV driver.
I have now been an EV driver since mid-2016.
Oh, so not too long then.
No, not long at all, really. No, in fact, basically we were living out in the Caribbean when all of this kind of took off, you know, when like the Leaf was out and things. So we never actually got to see and knew about EVs until we got back to the Channel Islands in 2015. So it was a bit of a funny one, really, because out in the Caribbean, there was no, you know, it wasn't even heard of. In the States, then it was quite, you know, they weren't very big. You know, you heard rumblings of Tesla and things, but nothing. So we never had any exposure to them. It was only when we got back and actually were looking for a new car that we kind of spotted them and saw them. And it was like, whoa, hold on, we've missed out on this kind of thing. So obviously by then they'd kind of been out, hadn't they, for since sort of 2010, 2011, so.
So, I mean, like, the thing is, with the small island, really, I mean, you're kind of perfect for an EV, really, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. It's great for the island, great for the environment. Funny enough, where we used to live in the Caribbean in Cayman, they've actually got them there now. I've seen pictures of them of driving around there. So it has kind of, you know, filtered back that way, but... Yeah, here in Jersey, there's about 180 registered EVs, full electric EVs. You, on a typical day driving around Jersey, you'll probably see three or four Leafs on your journey. You'll definitely see a couple of i3s, and you'll see a few FEVs driving around as well on a typical day out. So, yeah, it's definitely growing.
I wouldn't say you'd see too many of the Teslas over there. I mean, I know Jersey's fairly sort of wealthy, but I mean, I imagine on these islands, if it's anything like Malta, which I went to recently, the roads are quite small, and Teslas going to be a bit big, really, isn't it?
They are. Oddly, there is a few. The owners that seem to have them do seem to drive them, you know, on the bigger roads. You wouldn't meet up with one on the side roads, and certainly not. But the main roads here aren't too bad. Although saying that, you'd have to stop a fair bit if you were, you know, if you met buses and trucks on the way down. But I've seen about three here that are Jersey registered, and we do see the odd tourist one as well. So we'll see an odd UK car, you know, UK plated car that's come on the ferry. I'm not sure I would take a Tesla on the ferries, to be honest with you, but individual's choice.
They're a bit dodgy, these ferries, are they?
They're quite tight. They're not the biggest of ferries. They're quite tight for space. So, but to be fair, I've put bigger cars on, like the Volvo XC90 on there before, and they're quite good in positioning you with, you know, they do kind of respect that it's a bit more of a pricey car, and they do tend to give you a bit of a better space, to be fair. So it's not too bad, yeah.
So you're thinking about getting yourself a car, and what made you decide that? What made you think that an EV was going to be right for you then?
It was basically down to I've always liked technology, always liked different things. Got a bit fed up with the noise of kind of diesel cars and the smell of diesel cars. Actually, just went out to the local garages here are slightly different to what you'd expect in the UK. So here, a typical dealership will run with sort of three or four different manufacturers, maybe more. So we went to, you know, just a local garage looking for a car, and saw the Leaf there, and just sort of, oh, you know, what's this? Not seen the, literally hadn't seen one before at that point. And yeah.
It must have looked very strange to you.
It did. And it was like, so they told us about it and, you know, came home, did a lot of research on it and thought, actually, this could quite work for us, you know, in terms of what they offer. Went back to the dealership, and they basically said, take one for the weekend and try it. We were like, hello? You know, because that's kind of like quite unusual, isn't it? But obviously, Jersey being a place, you can't really steal a car in Jersey. So, yeah, they said, take it for the weekend, give it a try. absolutely just fell in love with it, to be honest with you. It was just such a good drive, you know, not having the noise. We found out from research that the car parks in Jersey were well equipped with chargers, you know, so it's fairly easy to put it on charge. Obviously, you can charge at home as well. So it was all a part of the offer. They were installing the charger at home. So it was really a kind of no-brainer. And just driving it for what it was just so pleasant, really.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about the charging points in Jersey. I mean, do you really need them with it being such a small island?
You don't, to be fair. I think they've done it more really because in Jersey there is a lot of apartments and there are a lot of properties with no, you know, the French side of Jersey, if you like, has got a lot of properties where there's no parking. It's all on okay. street parking or, you know, car parking. So it does kind of make sense to have them in the car parks, and they are going to expand that in 2018 as well.
So it makes sense then, doesn't it? So
it does, yeah. And you get half price parking as well with an EV. It used to be
even better.
Yeah, it used to be anything that was below, you know, a certain CO2 level, but they've reduced that now. So it's a maximum of 50 milligrams of CO2. So there are a few FEVs that fit into that, but certainly all the EVs fit into that quite nicely. So half price parking. £10 a month to charge for unlimited charging. It's kind of a no-brainer, and it's a good. It should encourage more people to do it, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So how does it recognise your car as being an EV when it goes in? I mean, do they say, "Oh, right"? I mean, is it done manually? Is it, or is it a machine that sort of recognises the plates and says, "Oh, that's an EV"? And
no, it's done. It's done via an app. So when you park, you just park with an app, and it's as long as you've registered your car to be an EV, then you just it automatically comes up with half price parking. So it's quite good the way it does it. You're literally not even to have to think about it. You just put on how long you're going to park, whether you're parking for the day, and away you go.
Yeah, I've noticed that some of the towns in Spain, I think Madrid's one of them, and possibly Barcelona too, where you can get free parking with an EV.
Yeah, I've noticed that. A lot of places seem to do that. Yeah, free parking, which just kind of makes sense. And they're mulling over that for Jersey as well. They do think that'll be... but obviously they've got to weigh up the income they get from car parks and things as well. If you start giving it away, you've got to find other ways of doing it, haven't you? We've made the suggestion that we do that they do keep the half price parking, but actually make the charging free.
Okay.
And have more parking spaces. So I've been working with the local, what they call states, which is, you know, our government here, and the electricity company that provide the chargers. And it kind of makes sense, we think, to keep the price as is, so they still make revenue from it, but give the electricity for free. And if you work out, you know, how much you're parking, it's 39 pence a minute to park.
Okay, it's not bad.
Which is not bad at all. It probably costs, you know, what, sort of 10 pence an hour to... Sorry, did I say 39? 39 pence an hour to park, yeah. So if you said 10-15 pence, to, you know, in electricity to charge, it would kind of cost in for them, wouldn't it? They'd still be making some revenue off it, so it does make sense.
That's right, yeah. Well, I noticed as well that there's quite a few things going on with the islands as well. I mean, the Balearic Islands, the Menorca, Mallorca and so on, they're trying to go 100% green with their electric and with their encourage EVs and so on. I think 2025, no more diesels going to be sold there, and 2035, no more petrol cars.
That's excellent. That's good news. And I think for the islands, it's an absolute no-brainer. You know, it's... They say here, like, you know, we don't suffer much from pollution because of the winds we have coming through. But I still hear things like, you know, quite high cancer rates being spoken about. And you do wonder if it contributes to it, you know. The other issue we have in Jersey, and I don't know if it's the same on these other islands, is that there's no MOT. So cars are...
All right.
Cars, like the UK has an MOT... You know, and even when we're out in the Caribbean, they have an annual check of the car, make sure there's no oil leaking, you know, check the emissions, that kind of stuff. There's nothing like that here. So a dirty diesel really can be a dirty diesel in terms of you'll see a lot of diesel cars that are, you know, bellowing smoke out of them. And you do wonder if that's, you know, if that's a good thing. And they should be doing everything they can, in my opinion, to discourage that.
Yeah, that's a surprise, that is. I would imagine that in the Balearics, you know, the Spanish islands and Tenerife as well, there's bound to be the ETV, as they call it, so that you wouldn't be able to sort of run around with the car. That's possibly dangerous.
Yeah, no, that's it just to me doesn't make sense. It's also, I see it as a way of encouraging, you know, the replacement of cars as well. You know, if it's a car that's working, people will keep using it, won't they? You know, they won't change it out just because they think it's not efficient anymore and it's, you know, potentially producing more CO2 than it should do. They'll keep running it whereas having something like an MOT or some sort of, you know, annual test will encourage people to actually to move off of it, sort of thing. So I think the key is, the like what Norway and other countries have done, it's the incentives around it. I think if there's a electric cars in general are still quite expensive, even obviously the new Nissan Leaf is still quite a pricey car. I know it starts from around £21,000, but in terms of, you can buy a similar size car for, you know, maybe 4,000 or 5,000 less. I think if the incentives were there, government incentives like they do in the States and the UK, I think that would make a big difference. And I think that's what the
So you don't get any incentive at all there then for buying an electric car?
Not at all. No. And there's been no discussion around it at all. It seems to be a bit of a closed door discussion as well. Nobody seems to want to. I guess, you know, they have to find a way to fund it from, but they do charge, we don't pay VAT here, but they do charge a 5% tax, which, you know, they could charge, which could pay for the conversion to EVs, really.
Well, you're not doing too bad, really, because there's not too many places where you get no VAT. I think in Norway and possibly in Holland as well, they've got it so that you don't pay VAT on the cars, the electric cars you buy them.
That's true, yeah. And they charge, I think, quite a bit more, don't they, for a petrol diesel car. I think you almost pay double, from what I read,
Well, it's 21% here in Spain VAT on the cars. And I think the saving would be probably something similar there up in Norway.
Yeah, it's good. It's good way to encourage it, and parking will help. And I see, you know, a lot of them coming onto the roads now, and it does seem to make a difference. And I think what will happen this year, and certainly up to 2020, is as we see, like the new Leaf with a bigger battery, I think that'll encourage people. You know, I mean, for me, on a Generation 1 Leaf, even in Jersey, I'm having to charge every couple of days. So I often run out towards the airport, and I live the other side of the island. It's about 12 miles, you know, I run around a few places, come back. You know, every couple of days, I'm having to charge it and think about charging it in anticipation for maybe doing those longer journeys.
That's the thing, really, isn't it? You've got a sort of situation where you need to plug in every night, so you always have a fully charged car next day. You just do it automatically. But if it's sort of every 2 or 3 days, or it's sort of maybe 2 days, maybe 3 days, you perhaps have the chance of forgetting, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and if you don't have I do have the privilege of charging at home. But if you didn't have the ability to charge at home, and you were relying on the public charging, obviously, it could be a little bit tricky in terms of, you know, making sure you could turn up at the moment and not get a charger, which I'm sure would discourage people. And they must think about that when they're looking to change the car. Whereas I think with the newer cars that are coming out with the bigger batteries, it's kind of a no-brainer, because you know, if you can do over 100 miles before you need to charge, I think that will make it's a bit of a game changer.
Yeah, so you've been a few long journeys with this, by going over onto France and Spain and stuff like that. So what was it like when you did your first long journey?
First journey in France was quite nerve-wracking. Didn't quite get the right. It's the same problems they have in the UK. Too many different companies. Didn't have the right charge cards. Had to go into various, you know, like shopping malls and get charge cards from those malls to use the chargers. So it's a bit convoluted. There is a company called ChargeMap that seems to have kind of nailed it now, so that the next trip to France would be a lot easier in terms of they're covering a lot of the electricity is done in postcode areas in France, and each electricity postcode company, for example, SDE22, is responsible for the charging in those zones, and then you've got another charging company that does the highways. So effectively, you kind of need two cards, really. But ChargeMap has sort of got the SDE companies, so the various postcode areas, signing up. And when I did my first trip, the first postcode area I went into, their card didn't work. I messaged them and they said, come in at the end of the month, and it did. Surprising, I checked it, the following month, and they'd added that postcode area, and that's the nearest to me where the ferry gets off, so it's quite a key one for me. And there's a French company called Sodretel, which covers pretty much everything else, and that seemed to work quite well. That is a subscription based service, so it's not ideal for tourism.
Yeah,
which is always the tricky bit, and the same problem in the UK. Polar is quite a common one in the UK, but a lot of their charges are subscription based, which for tourism is not great. And I do think we need some sort of a better mechanism of paying, whether it is just using a credit debit card to actually pay, and using.
Yeah, what about paying through the app? Can you do that?
Yeah, certainly some of them you can pay through the app. You couldn't in France. You do need the cards in France. I didn't find one you could pay with an app. Recent trip to the UK, used Ecotricity. We did use the Polar Instant, which limits you to certain Polar chargers that worked quite well. You do have the problem of some of them not connecting. So you'll turn up to a charger, turned up to two, that wouldn't connect at all, and that leaves you a little bit panic stricken with a battery like the Gem one, where you're then trying to find a charger that's close by. Did have one of those moments with the dash 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 on it and just waiting for the turtle to come in, but luckily made it to a charger. But yeah, it seems to work, but you need a fistful of cards for it to work, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, well, I've been getting myself ready for when I have my car. I've got a ChargeMap one and one from Ibil, because Ibil has the chargers here in Spain. They're putting them onto some of the petrol forecourts. So I thought, well, I'd better have that one, just have a few options, you know?
Yeah, no, it makes sense, yeah. You certainly have to plan the trips, and I think that's probably hurting adoption. I think that will change, again, I think over the next couple of years with charges going into things like gas stations, that'll make a big difference. If you can just pull up to a gas station and use one, as long as, again, the apps work, and you, what you don't want to do is, I think I'm going down to Switzerland in a couple of weeks' time, and I am going to take a hybrid car, purely because of the range of the current car. I won't have my longer range Leaf before then, but we looked at it, and we would need so many different cards and apps to actually get down there. It's quite a daunting thought to process it, and I think that needs to change. I think if real adoption is going to take place, that needs to change. That process of being or needing a fistful of apps and a fistful of cards needs to, unless somebody like ChargeMap or a company covers a lot of these, or like the whole of Europe or the whole of the UK, it's gonna always be a little bit difficult. I think that's probably why Tesla took the approach that they did in terms of.
Yeah, they did a good job of that, didn't they?
They did, and it's a shame the likes of Nissan couldn't have done some sort of partnership with them, teamed up with them, but I guess Tesla wanted to keep it exclusive, which is fair. It's they're investing in that infrastructure. I mean, those spaces they're taking, those charges they're putting in, it must have cost them a considerable amount of money. Just the space alone. Yeah. Just the space alone isn't cheap, is it? So
at least with the Nissan, we can pull into the Nissan garages and get filled up, can't we?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Although you do see a lot of those not working. On the trip to the UK recently, that was a problem. So I did pencil in the Nissan garages as points to charge and found quite a few of them not working. You do see a lot of posts in the groups about Nissan chargers not working. They do need to take more effort into making sure they are working, definitely.
Tell me, do you have any favourite applications that you use for finding your chargers?
I do, yeah. Yeah, I have a number of them just to cover the fact that obviously some cover some areas, some don't, some have more information, so I use Charge Map initially because it's quite a good app in terms of finding stuff. It does seem to have the non-Charge Map compatible ones listed as well. PlugShare, ZapMap, all good, all good apps for finding charge points. What I would like to see, and I think it would be a good one to take up, is somebody like Google doing that, actually to put the charging locations within Google Maps so that you could create a journey and actually set a, if you like, a maximum distance between charges. So say your car can do 100 miles, you could set 100 miles and it would find relevant charging points on that app, and you could perhaps tick charges that you want. Somebody like Google could take that on without probably too much trouble,
Yeah, I've been trying out a couple of these apps there just to sort of see which ones are good ones. PlugShare seems quite good. Next Charge looks quite good as well. I like the ones where you can use them to plan an itinerary as well. And those two do that. And then the way they do it is that they sort of say, okay, well, you're starting from home, so you're probably going to have 100% charge. So this is how far you can go. And it shows on the actual line of the journey how far you can go in either a percentage, or it gives you a sort of number of miles or kilometres at a certain point where you can start looking, say, okay, well, let's have a look at the charge at this point here and pull in there and see where you've got other options as well, just in case one of them's not working and so on,
Yeah, and that's what you need, isn't it? You need the alternatives as well. And of course, it'd be nice if those apps linked in as well in some way to check that the charger is still working as well, where possible, where they're reporting back to their own service to say it's available. I think that'll come. Yeah. I think that needs probably a larger company, somebody like a Google, to take that on, because these companies are doing it. They tend to be quite independent. Like Ecotricity in the UK is very independent. Sodretel in France is very independent in terms of they're obviously looking after themselves from a business perspective. But it'd be good if they could then share their information with somebody who's got that infrastructure to process that data as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, so tell me, what is the best thing about your car? What do you love about it the most?
I'll be honest, I do have a heavy right foot, so I do like the fact that it nips off quite quickly when you get the opportunity to, when you're not stuck in traffic and things.
You like to have that EV smile.
I do. I love the quietness. I love it when you just hear the motor as you're zipping up and the motor sort of winds up and you hear that little whining noise. I just find the whole experience so much more pleasant. And I do find when you go back into a petrol car, if you have to take a petrol car for a hire car, it just doesn't feel the same anymore. I'd find it really hard. I see people posting on groups saying they've changed jobs and they're having to go back to a petrol car, and you think, I'd hate to have to do it now. It just feel awful driving even just the gear changing and things like that. As you pull off quickly and it's just instant torque and it just goes, and going back to something that has to then change gears and just doesn't feel the same.
So your worst experience of driving a car was when you were having a bit of difficulty finding chargers there, or have you had some worst time with you driving your EV?
No, just the only experience I've had is charging. Nissan's, touch wood, extremely reliable. Not had any issues with it to date, and I think the lack of moving parts is significant, really, to the, you know, owners of EVs. It does make a big difference. And it is so nice not to go and have to have regular services and have things checked and things like that. It just works. It works very well. And what has impressed me with EVs is the fact that they seem to have got it right so quickly. I mean, if you look back at the history of cars, it's taken a long time, really, to get to where they are now in terms of petrol and diesel engines. And they're still spending a lot of money on modifying petrol and diesel engines to make them better and more refined and more technology in them. Whereas EVs have, you know, or this generation of EVs, I know they've been around for a lot longer than that, but this kind of generation of EVs just seems to have worked very well. And issues with them seems to be minimal in terms of, you know, design and stuff. There's, you certainly don't, from a Nissan Leaf perspective, you'd never hear an owner go, well, this was never put together very well, was it? It just seems to have been done so well so early on.
Yeah, they do say a little bit of that about some of the Teslas, the panels not lining up, things like that, don't they?
They do, yeah. It seems a shame with Tesla. They do seem to be affected by build quality, whereas give Nissan their dues, and some of the other manufacturers their dues, the build quality does seem to be particularly good. I am seeing now a lot of the Mercedes A-Class or B-Class, I think it's a B-Class EV that's out now. We're seeing quite a few of them in Jersey now as one of the retailers here is selling them. And imagine that's quite a solid car as well, you know, for a Mercedes. So you probably see them around for quite some time.
Absolutely. So what's your plan over the next few years with electric vehicles? I mean, you said you've had a trip in the 2018 Nissan Leaf. I mean, how was the test drive, and what are you planning now?
Oh yeah, the test drive was excellent. Again, the dealer let me have it for the whole weekend, which to me is just the best way you can experience it.
Lucky you!
Yeah, you see people post and they go, oh, I had a 10-minute drive, and you think you can't gather anything from a 10-minute drive, you know. But a whole weekend, I think if you gave that car to anyone for a day, the only thing that would stop them buying it is maybe the finance deal, because it's literally such a pleasant car to drive. If you actually put, I actually had a work colleague ask me about it this morning, how the test drive went, who's been off work, he's just come back. And I said, if you put anyone in that car who didn't know it was electric, they'd say, isn't that engine quiet? Because they absolutely wouldn't know the difference that it wasn't an electric car. It's just so refined as a car. And feels, it sounds odd, but it feels so much more car-like than a Gen 1 Leaf, if that makes sense. You know, in a Gen 1 Leaf, you know you're in an electric car and it's different and it feels different. But in that, I think because it's so quiet, you know, just the cabin materials are better in terms of the end product. It just feels more car-like. And I say, I think if you put anyone in there who'd never driven one before, you'd have to really quite explain to them that it's an electric car and it doesn't have an engine, it doesn't have the moving parts and things like that. They'd be quite shocked, I think. It's pleasurable to drive. ProPilot works an absolute treat. I had that on a Volvo, and I have to say it works much better on the Nissan. The Volvo was quite harsh in braking when you're in traffic. But it works with e-pedal on. It seems to work. I only used it with e-pedal on. It seems to work very nicely in terms of slowing down and speeding up in traffic. In general, the feel of the quality. I know people will miss the digital display, but you get over it, you know. And you can bring up the miles per hour on it on the left hand side of the electronic dashboard. But other than that, just pure refinement and quality of the car is exceptional, I have to say. For me, to upgrade has proven to be a no-brainer, quite honestly.
So when do you think you're going to have the car?
They said first week in April, and it's been pulled back now to second week of March. So just after my trip to Switzerland.
Yeah, I've noticed that I got a message back from Nissan via Twitter. And they said that we're not going to get him here in Spain until the end of March, so I don't expect to get mine until April.
Yeah, but it's worth the wait. It really is worth the wait. Did you get a test drive, a long test drive in it?
I only got a very short test drive, about 10 minutes, 15 minutes at the most. And the salesman even got told off for taking the car out he wasn't supposed to.
Oh, right.
So I got a bit of a test drive. I was able to try out the E-Ped, which I thought was really good. I didn't get to try out the Pro Pilot, which is a bit of a shame because I really wanted to see how that was that goes. Because at the moment on the Renault Clio that I drive, I use cruise control as much as possible. I love using it, and to be able to have that and the adaptive cruise control, or intelligent cruise control as they call it in Nissan, I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, the E-pedal is exceptional, and I hear different people say different things about it in terms of how long it takes them to adapt to it, but I found it very quick. Quite funnily, my son is 19, who's a bit of a petrol head still. He hasn't quite adopted to EVs like the rest of the family. And he actually drove it on the E-pedal and was really amazed by the fact you could drive quite quickly around corners and things, because obviously as you get to the corner, you release off the accelerator, and as you're into the corner, you can start accelerating again. So you can actually have a lot of fun with E-pedal. It's one of those kind of things. If you were driving a manual car, you'd have to obviously change down, change back up again to come around the corner. If you're driving an automatic, it would change down, it would change back up again. But with the E-pedal, you literally take your foot off for a second, and then as you sort of come into the corner, you accelerate again, and you think, this is a lot of fun, you know. And that's I think that's quite a clever. I know that wasn't Nissan's design intent with it. But for those who do like a bit of fun whilst driving still, that is a lot of fun, quite honestly.
Yeah, I mean, people say that it's very good when you're in heavy traffic as well. But for the heavy traffic, I like the idea of using the Pro Pilot Assist, so that's, you know, if the traffic stops, if it's less than 3 seconds, it'll start going again. Or if it's over 3 seconds, just press the reset button, I think it is, and it'll start going again. That'll be nice.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, no, it works very well, as I say. Luckily, on one of the test drive days, it was quite a sunny day in Jersey, so that does bring everyone out in their cars. So we did get quite a good chance to use it on a very short stretch of dual carriageway that we have. But no, it handled it very well. I was very impressed with it. It pulls off very quickly when the car in front, but not a jerky action, or, you know, it's very smooth to take off, it's very smooth to brake, which I did say in the Volvo that we had for a very short time, we did find that it was very jerky, and quite often you'd have to touch the accelerator to get it to pull off. But the Pro Pilot seems to be very well thought out and very functional, and I think a very good lead into what we'll see in full autonomy in a few years' time as well.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. I'll tell you what I was going to ask you. You mentioned your son there. So, I mean, do you find now that you're a champion for EVs and have many friends and families, friends and family members followed your lead?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, we've got three in the family at the moment, and there's lots of friends and stuff are looking at them, especially for replacements of, you know, new cars that are coming up this year. Those as well who have had, you know, have typically been quite diesel orientated and gone down the diesel route are looking at some of the, you know, the potential larger, I'm trying to think, some of the names like Audi and that are coming out this year, where there's going to be you know, quite good, or they're suggesting there'll be quite good ranges in them as well. So yeah, it's been everyone who goes in them loves it. The Leaf's not the Gen 1 Leaf's not everyone's taste. I think the Gen 2 Leaf is a lot more appealing for people who are not sure about moving away from it, you know, just in terms of it does feel more car-like, it has got that better range. But yeah, it's certainly, you know, been a game changer for us in terms of I had to hire a van this weekend and I had to put diesel in it. And it was like,
oh dear, that's terrible.
It was horrible. Yeah. It was, luckily the guy came out and did it for me, because, you know, I kind of almost forgot what it was like. But it was a bizarre feeling to, it feels like you go back a few years, you know, when you get in something like that and you got the noise, the rattle and the gear changing, and it's not a pleasant experience. But yeah, no, my daughters took to an EV. They don't have charging at home, so they're reliant on the car parks to charge. But it, you know, very rarely do they have a problem, and if they have a problem, they come and charge at the house. But for them, been an absolute, no-brainer, saving, between £60 and £100 a month in fuel, which they would normally have spent, and they get the half-price parking when they're in town working. So it works very well.
And do you get cheap nighttime electricity there as well?
We do, yeah. Yeah, we seem to get quite a good deal on that, actually, looking at what others are paying for electricity. So we overnight, we get 7.6 pence per kilowatt hour.
That's pretty good.
It's pretty good, yeah. And oddly, my electricity bill has gone down, which kind of makes no sense at all. But I think it's because we changed from, so we've got the off-peak rate. So when we had the car charger put in, pod point put in, they changed it to the off-peak rate at that point, which is kind of part of and parcel of doing it kind of thing. And I'm about £400 in credit with electricity now, so I'll be seeing my bills going down over the next few months. So that's been
excellent.
That's been pleasant as well to see that. I wonder why we're using so much electricity at night, but that in itself, so there's a saving there. Obviously, I've got a saving over the fuel I would have spent, which for me would have probably been about £200 a month in fuel. So to me, the actual move is an absolute no-brainer.
So one of the things that I'm doing at the moment as well with the electricity is I'm changing to a different company that guarantees that we have a green electricity. Have any of these green planet issues sort of affected the way that you've chosen to go for an electric car?
It has, absolutely, yeah. And it was a consideration when we were looking, again, in terms of emissions and things. We wanted to reduce, our contribution, if you like, to it. We are very conscious in the family of the environment. We do a lot of recycling and things like that. And we get our electricity from France, so we are a little bit, and we only have one option. There is only one electricity company. But the power we get is pretty good in terms of very little of the power that's generated from our source is from any kind of fossil fuels.
Yeah, they're big users of nuclear over in France, aren't they?
They are, yeah. And we have one about 21 miles up the coast from us, which is a large source of our power. Plus, I think about, on a typical day, about 40 to 45% of renewable energy as well is feeding. I do check it quite often, just to see what they're doing in terms of generation. It's not pure green. It's not as green as we'd like, but it's not bad either. And when people ask me about it, funny enough, are you not concerned about it? I say, well, actually, I'm just using the green bit that they're supplying from France. You're using the dirty electricity in your house, so. that's my comeback on it. I said it's all clean electrons in my way.
And do you find that people in Jersey are putting solar panels on the roofs as well?
They are, yeah. It's not been many companies doing it until recently. There's just been a big uptake on it, and there's one company that's doing a lot of work around that and EV charging, and we're actually seeing some EV charging going into new properties as well.
Excellent.
which is good to see, with along with solar panels and power walls. So there's definitely an uptake on it. Again I think 2018, 2019 we'll see a lot more of that.
Okay, that's excellent. Well, thanks for coming onto the podcast and talking about all this. It's been really interesting getting your point of view on this. Is there anything else that you wanted to say about EVs before we go?
No, just anyone who's thinking about it, definitely look at it seriously. Try and get a good long drive from the garage that you're looking at, from the manufacturer that you're looking at, and enjoy it, because it definitely is a better way to drive. It's a cleaner way to drive, and they are a lot of fun. And for me, it put the driving pleasure in back for me, which I'm really pleased about, because I did go off driving for quite some time, and now I actually enjoy planning these trips, enjoy finding places to charge and things like that, and have a lot of fun with it. So hope those who listen will be doing the same soon.
I must admit, I'm quite looking forward to the planning of these trips. A bit sort of OCD, so what is it? ACDC on
the... OCDC, yeah, yeah.
Well, you know what I meant anyway, but...
Yeah.
What's it, OCD on the sort of thing with the idea of planning trips and being able to get to place. I'm looking forward to that, actually.
It is, and honestly, it's one of those things. It's kind of like once you've done your first one, you're chomping at the bit to do your next one, and like you think, oh, I could have done it better if I'd have gone on that route. I'd have done, I'd done a better job of it, sort of thing. And it actually kind of again almost puts a bit of more pleasure into doing long distance trips, you know. And we like to stop and have a coffee. You know, we're not the kind of people that want to do 200, 300 miles and go, oh, we're going to do 300 miles and fill up with gas. We actually like to do, you know, 100 miles, stop and have a coffee, charge, you know, maybe get a croissant or whatever and then carry on. It makes for quite a relaxing journey. You're not just hitting the motorway and you know, going as fast as you can and getting there as quick as you can. It actually makes more fun in the drive as well. Yeah. So,
well, I'm kind of like the same there, except I'm a tea man. I'm not coffee at all. Yeah. I'm a proper Englishman.
Yeah. As long as there's no alcohol, it's good.
Yeah. So tell me, do you have a website that you use to talk about EVs or anything? Or do you have, you know, a Twitter account or a Facebook thing that you like people to connect with you?
I do. I run the I Spotted a Nissan Leaf on Facebook. So anyone's happy to join that. And if you do spot a Leaf, feel free to post it. So, I just set it up just for a bit of fun, really. You know, just to for those who get good pictures of Leafs they've spotted in the, you know, in the wild to post up there. We have a bit of banter on it as well. And, you know, sometimes put some posts on there just to get a bit of conversation going and things. But yeah, it's been quite a good little site, really. A lot of fun. So
yeah, I think that's probably where I sort of came across you anyway, because I was looking around for any information about Nissan Leaf while I was into the process of buying mine.
Yeah, it's good. And the forums are great. I mean, they're a great source of information. Anyone who's making the move, it's good to, you know, there's lots of them around. If you go on, I Spotted a Nissan Leaf, I've got lots of links on there to other sites and other areas of the world. You know, like UK Nissan Leaf forum, where there's a lot of information for newbies to come on around charging, things that you need, if you need adapters, that sort of thing. So, you know, what chargers are good, what chargers are on free vend. Sometimes even knowing what chargers are on free vend is extremely handy, and it might determine which route you take on a journey, sort of thing, to get a free vend as well. So
talking about adapters, that's one thing that you'll have to make note of with the new Leaf. It's with a Type 2 rather than a Type 1 for connecting to your charger at home.
Yeah, I did go down the tethered route on the charger, despite everyone saying go untethered. I just like the fact that the cable was installed on it. But bid on Amazon, and the actual adapter cable was about £139 to convert it. So, but as we've got two first gen Leafs, which will be with us for a while, and we'll have the second gen Leaf, we're just going to keep it as it is and use the adapter. Just it kind of makes sense, you know. So,
do you know what? I'm just totally jealous of all the Leafs that you got in the house there.
Oh, it's great. Absolutely love it.
Okay, one more question before you go. Have you ever been iced?
Yes, I have. On a couple of occasions in Jersey. We do have a bit of an issue here with Fevs parking all day as well on chargers, which has become quite a hot potato on our local Jersey Electric group. You know, they're using basically the destination chargers all day to basically charge a car that probably only needs about 3 or 4 hours charge. And it is a little bit frustrating. It has been brought to a public forum. It has got better. People have become conscious of it and are doing it a lot less, kind of thing. But even so, it just kind of shows the need to, you know, to put more money into the charging infrastructure, really. As it grows, it's only going to get worse. And our local Nissan dealer's selling 3 or 4 a week. So it's a situation that's only, you know, gonna get worse before it gets better, kind of thing. In terms of, we're seeing a big uptake on the Mitsubishi Fev here, which is a great car, and I admire the people who are, you know, who are trying to at least go electric, but need the car at the moment that does the longer range. The shortage of chargers with the growth of those cars could become quite a hot potato quite quickly.
Yeah, well, hope it all gets sorted out anyway, and it's just a case of everyone learning as we go along, really, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. But I think we're going to see some big change over the next couple of years. I think by 2020, we'll be in a much better position than we are now. I think those who've made the change now, and those who want to make the change should make that change. And I don't think anyone would have any regrets with it, really. I think anyone buying now just needs to be sensible and look at the vehicle they're looking to buy. With the Leaf 2, I definitely think you could, even if you were quite heavy-footed, I think you could still get about 140 miles out of it, because the e-pedal really does regen very well. And I actually, over the weekend that I borrowed it, I actually found it difficult to run down. I literally went everywhere in it to try and see what I could get out of it, and I had to hand the car back with 39% battery on it. So it was a bit heartbreaking, quite honestly.
But, yeah, they must have thought you weren't trying hard enough.
it was very dirty when I took it back, but it still had charge in it. I said, look, it's really dirty, I'm sorry about that, you'll have to give it a good clean. We had some quite bad weather on one of the days, so it got quite dirty with it, you know, with the road. But it did go back with 39% charge on it. So our Nissan dealer doesn't have a rapid charger at the moment, so even they have to wait the time it takes to do a Type 2 charge at 7 kilowatts. So
well, that's only about sort of 8 or 9 hours or so, isn't it?
Yeah, that's about all it took, yeah.
Anyway, it's been lovely talking to you, Mike. Thanks very much.
Yeah, thanks. You're welcome. Brilliant. Thanks, David.
Thanks very much. Bye-bye now. Well, there you go. Another interesting chat with an electric vehicle owner. And next time we're going to be talking to Aaron Russell. And he's going to tell us all about his Nissan Leaf, the 2018 version, which has just come out. Excellent. Bye-bye now.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.